Luke chapter 8. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, or the church. And the 12 apostles were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who ministered to him from their substance. So, as Jesus is going from town to town, village to village, teaching, preaching, and healing, he has a pretty big group of people going with him. Not only his 12 apostles, but also women that were helping them, ministering to them. And when many people were gathered together and had come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bore fruit 100-fold. Now, we've read this parable in a couple of other accounts. So we know that the sower is the Christian. He's sowing the seed, or the word of God. So a Christian is out there doing what he's supposed to be doing, trying to teach others the word of God. You notice it's the same seed too. It's always the same seed. It's always the same word of God. But people react differently to the gospel. You know, they either completely reject it, or they might obey for a little bit and then fall away pretty quickly. Or some might obey it for a little bit, but they're just too many cares and concerns and love of the world. And then you've got the good soil, or people with good hearts, who believe it, obey it, and live it. And when he said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Pay attention to what I'm saying. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." You know, because they were selected as his apostles, so he was telling them things directly that no one else was being told. "But to others it is given in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." That's a quote from Isaiah 6:9. It's not that Jesus and God don't want people to understand, but he does want us to make an effort. We learn better when we have to make an effort to understand something. And then Jesus continues, and he's going to explain the parable to his disciples. Now, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, which never changes. Those by the wayside are those who hear, then the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Those on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, so they believe it and obey it. They become Christians, and these have no root. They believe for a while and fall away in time of temptation. One of many, 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 many passages that that blows once saved, always saved out of the water. And those that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But those on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he has lit a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that those who enter in may see the light. When we are taught the word of God, and we believe it and obey it, become Christians, we can't hide that word of God. We cannot hide it. We can't just hide away and never share it with anybody else. We need to be out there. We need to be a light to the world, trying to teach and find that good soil. For nothing is a secret that shall not be revealed, nor anything hidden that shall not be known and come into view. Therefore, be careful how you hear, for whoever has, to him shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, shall be taken away from him. So he's warning his disciples, be careful what you listen to, and be careful of what your standard is. You know, our standard should be the Word of God. Then his mother and his brothers came to him and could not come near him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers stand outside desiring to see you. And he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. It's probably the Sea of Galilee. And they launched forth, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a storm of wind came down on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him, awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. I don't know how he could sleep through a storm, but he did. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And being afraid, they wondered, saying to one another, what manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. You know, we tend to give the apostles a hard time because Jesus tells them the same thing over and over and over and over again. You know, my kingdom is the church. It's spiritual. It's not physical. I'm not here to be a physical king. He shows them all of these supernatural acts, and yet when he does another supernatural act, they're like, wow, who is this? And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is across from Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there a certain man out of the city met him who had demons or evil spirits for a long time and wore no clothes. He abided not in any house, but in the tombs. So you have this, what would probably be a very scary looking man. Crazy. He would seem to be a crazy man. Doesn't wear any clothes. Lives in a cemetery. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God Most High? Evil spirits always know who Jesus is, always. I beseech you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. This must have been one wild, crazy-looking man. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, which legion, like a Roman legion, is somewhere around 6,000. I don't know if he means there were literally that many evil spirits in his body. I don't know. But there were obviously was more than one. And that's probably why he seemed particularly crazy. And he said legion because many demons had entered into him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Or basically, don't make us go back to torments. You know, they knew these spirits of evil dead men. That's what I think they are. Were allowed to leave torments temporarily and go into somebody's body back on the earth. This was probably a vacation for them. Who wants to go back to torments? They did not want to go back out into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they begged him that he would allow them to enter into them. Being in the body of a pig is better than going back to torments. And he allowed them. But we can see it didn't do any good. Then the demons went out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. So it didn't do any good because they entered the pigs, who are not used to having an evil spirit in them, went crazy, ran off a cliff, drowned and died, which means those spirits ended up having to go back to torments anyway. When those who fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Now, if these are Jews, they had no business having pigs, because pigs, under the law of Moses, were considered unclean to the Jews. I don't know. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who saw it also told them by what means he who was possessed of the demons was healed. So basically, everybody's telling everybody what happened. Then the whole multitude of the country around the Gadarenes begged him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. They told Jesus, they told the Son of God, go away. We don't want to hear what you are teaching because we are scared of you. But they regretted that later. And he went up into the ship and returned. I mean, if... And, you know, this is kind of an example for us today. We as Christians, if we're trying to teach somebody and they're like, I don't want to hear it, go away, what do? We leave. We try to go find some other good soil. Now, the man out of whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house and declare the great things God has done for you. Go be a witness for me. Spread the word. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city the great things Jesus had done for him. And it came to pass that when Jesus had returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, a man named Jairus came, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. And as he went, the people thronged him. So he's trying to get to this man's house, and the crowds are just pressing up against him. He's probably just trying to just shove his way through them. And a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her living on physicians and could not be healed by any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. So just touching his garment immediately healed her. And Jesus said, who touched me? Which seems like a crazy question, doesn't it? Because, I mean, he's being pressed upon by the crowd. And yet he's saying, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and those who were with him said, Master, the multitudes throng you and press you, and you say, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. Of course, Jesus knew exactly who had touched him, because he's deity. But as usual, Jesus is using this as a teaching opportunity. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she knew that she was going to get caught, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him before all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. So she fessed up, and he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Plus, she hadn't done anything wrong. She thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I can be healed. And she was. While he still spoke, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the master. It's too late. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, do not fear. Only believe, and she shall be healed. And when he came into the house, he allowed no man to go in except Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and mourned for her. But he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Not really sure why Jesus said this. I don't know if it's because he knew that he was going to raise her up. And so she's not dead for good. I don't know. And he sent them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came back, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given food. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them they should tell no man what was done. You know, sometimes he tells people to, like he told the man with the evil spirit, go and tell everybody what God has done for you. Sometimes he tells people, don't tell anyone what I just did. Not entirely sure why. I don't know if he's just, trying to cut down on the crowds thronging him. I don't know. I'm not sure why sometimes he lets people tell others, and sometimes he says, no, don't tell anybody. Anybody have any ideas? Let me know. And that is Luke chapter 8.